welcome to the second episode of our investor podcast. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Michelle Schaller, and once again, I have the pleasure to speaking with Pascal Klein, CEO and founder of PIREM Renovations AG, about the latest developments surrounding PIREM. Hello, Pascal.
Hello, Michelle. Thanks for the small introduction, and hello to all our shareholders and people that are interested in PIREM and what is new about us. I'm sorry that we haven't had so many press releases in the last weeks, but I can tell you it is not because there are no news. We have a lot of news and a lot of work, and it's mainly because of our busy times that we have right now that it was a little bit calm around us. But we are going to change that, and in this podcast, you will get all the news that you want to hear. I hope so. Michelle has prepared some questions, so I would say, Michelle, it's on you. Ask me what everybody wants to know.
Thank you. Let's start with a topic that many investors have following for the last months: the mill and pelletizing plant. Can you give us an update on where the project currently stands, when the refurbishment is expected to take place, and what impact will have on PIREM ongoing forward?
Yeah. So allow me to answer that question a little bit wider. So I will tell you what is new and what happened in the plant in Dillingen in the last months. So you all know that the plant is composed of four plants, in fact. So the first plant is a shredding plant. That one is running perfectly well. We are doing some smaller improvements, but that is really on the detail of the detail, meaning getting the last percentage out of it, pushing it over the limits and improving the maintenance. So that's about the shredder. The PIREM unit, the reactors, is quite the same as the shredder. So it's running on a daily basis, perfectly smooth and fine. And we are optimizing the last little details. But I have to say, there will always be small details that you can optimize even in 3 years from now. So it will always be things that you can do better. But it's running very smoothly and fine. The same is for the power plant. It's also running perfectly fine. It has some stops, but that is not very often. I would say once or twice per month, we have a small stop of an hour, but that's negligible. That's not really much to say about it. So that's fine. So, and now everybody wants to know what is about the mill and pelletizer. So you all know that it should have been finished end of last year. It was finished end of last year, but it was not performing. And the performance of a plant depends on three factors. And I would like to explain to you what these three factors are and how important they are. So the most important factor is product quality. So if you have a process on which at the end you have a product that you cannot sell, or the product has a bad quality, it's lost. You cannot do anything with the process. So that's the most important. Have a running end product that is sellable and respecting the specs that the customers need. So that is now finally achieved in the mill and pelletizer in Dillingen. And that, I would say, is 50% to 60% of the game at all. If you have that, you have almost won the race. So the second most important thing in such a project is reliability. So meaning that the plant does that every day, so that you turn it on every day and it produces the same product on a daily basis, so you have a stable serial production. If you have that, 90% of the ways is done. So, and that's where we are now. So the plant is running on a daily basis with a stable product, and that has been audited and certified by Continental in its audit in May, and that is something that we have published. And you really have to know that that is one of the most important milestones we had in the last months, I would even say in the last year. Because now really the plant of PIREM is running from A to Z, stable on a daily basis with stable end products, with stable oil, stable gas, stable energy, and stable recovered carbon black, so RCB. The last 10% that are missing now is the quantity of RCB that comes out at the end. But that is, I would say, not rocket science anymore. That is just increasing volume. So the mill can do the required volume, the pelletizer can do the required volume. But now, in order to get the product stability and the serial production ready, we had to reduce the throughput of the conveying system between the mill and pelletizer. So it's easy to say, if you have one conveying system that can only transport 750 kilogram per hour, the whole plant can only make 750 kilogram per hour. If you add two additional transportation systems, you have three times 750 kilogram, then you can do three times the volume. And that's the only thing that we are doing now in summer. We are adding two additional conveying tubes between the mill and pelletizer, and then we should easily reach the volume that we have set. The important thing, and that is what all the investors, all customers, and all banks wanted to see, is that we are able to produce the product and that we get the price that we always said, and that it's actually bought by somebody, and that is done now since May by Schwalbe and Continental, and that was the milestone that had to be reached.
Thank you for the update. Okay, let's move on to Perl-Besch. The groundbreaking ceremony took place in November 2025. Now the progress is slower than expected. Do you have an explanation? What are the reasons for that?
Yeah. So the first reason is nobody gives the money. So not the investors, not the customers, and not the bank, if Dillingen is not proven. And it took, as I explained in the question before, it took now until May this year to prove that Dillingen wants really fully and every step of the process wants. So since we have proven that, and since the audit of Continental, it took a lot of speed again. So the banks reactivated everything, our customers reactivated. So let's say we had a little bit more quiet period in the first quarter in order to get everything done on the mill and pelletizer. Now that it is done, now the projects are taking enormous speed. But we didn't waste that time. Once we have seen that it will take until April to get everything modified in the mill and pelletizer to have the stable production running, we decided in February to make something called value engineering on the existing Pyrum plant in Dillingen, meaning we took all of the knowledge of the last years and we redesigned the plan to make it, one, cheaper, and on the other hand, quicker to build. That is something we wanted to do since years, and we have done it now. We have advanced that in our planning, and that helps a lot in Perl-Besch, because that will reduce costs in Perl-Besch. I'm not saying that the plant will be cheaper now than it was planned, but it helps us enormously to stay in budget, because everybody knows that in the last months or years, prices went up extremely due to war, energy price increases, etc. And with the value engineering now, we are able to counter that, to stay in the budgets, and even if we are a bit lucky, to reduce prices a little bit. That is one thing. And the second thing is we need absolutely to build the plants quicker. And that was the second goal in the value engineering. And that can be done by not building everything on site, on the building site, by pre-building more things in the factories, so that you have a plug-and-play system that you just put together modules on the building site. And that has also been done since February. And we expect now the value engineering to be completely done until end of June. And then we can order the parts for Perl-Besch and for the other projects once the purchase contracts are signed.
Okay. Will these experiences also will help further projects like in Greece or in Czech Republic?
Yeah, sure. Czech Republic, there are two things. One thing is everybody, the customer and the bank, were waiting until the results from the mill and pelletizer in Dillingen. So, as already said, that was done now in May. And it was planned that we sign already the financing contract beginning of the year. But like it is sometimes with banks, we were not completely involved in the bank discussions, we as Pyrum. The project in Czech Republic is a joint venture between ZUAS and Pyrum. We own 49%, ZUAS owns 51%. We bring in the technology, the patents, and our know-how. They bring in the building side and the financing. So it was more or less their job to discuss with the banks and to put the financing together. And it was always said that we, as Pyrum and SUAS, we don't have to give an endless financial guarantee for the plant. And suddenly the bank was expecting something like that. So that would have meant that Pyrum would have held responsible for everything, even for the shredder, which we are not building, or the mill and pelletizer, which we are not building, and for endless amounts, and that within 14 days, so 2 weeks. And I think every shareholder can understand that we, as board of directors, we could not accept that. That would have been much too risky for the company, and that could have cost the company in case anything goes wrong in Czech Republic. So in the first quarter, and I would say even until April this year, we have a lot of discussions and we made a lot of proposals to the bank. And we finally found a solution. And that solution is something we can both live with, the bank and Pyrum and SUAS. And now we are in a situation that everything is clear. And now the contracts need to be finalized. So we have the first drafts on the table. We needed now board decisions on SUAS side. We needed board decisions on Pyrum side. Some of them are already taken. Some of them will be taken in the next weeks. So I am very confident and optimistic that we will soon start now in Czech Republic. And we are already starting there. SUAS has already injected money, and we have already injected money, and the building site is already a running building site with work in progress. The groundwork has started there, so everything is running, so there is no way back, I would say.
Okay.
And for Greece, as you ask, it's a similar situation. The investors, the banks, everybody was waiting for the results from the mill and pelletizer, which we have since May now. So now it took a lot of speed there. And also now the manufacturer of the mill and pelletizer, Hosokawa, is now also able to give offers for the future plans, which they were not able to give before we had not the final solution in Dillingen. And now the Czech project is collecting all the offers. So for everything that is done locally, street work, steel structure, canalizations, everything that's done locally, and also milling, shredding, pelletizer, they're collecting the offers now. And the goal in Czech, in Greece, is that all the offers are finally on the table and can be bought and ordered end of Q3, beginning of Q4. And therefore, the Greek partner has hired a local EPC contractor to do that. So as you may see or hear, in the last years, Pyrum has built one plant in Dillingen. Now we are really in the execution of three plants in parallel, plus the new plant with Unitank in Emleben. So it is really busy.
Thank you for the insights. Now Pyrum exists since 2008, and the T81, the reactor, the first reactor, exists like over 10 years. Now there is planning a redesign, a retrofit of the first reactor. Is it necessary, and do it have effects on other projects, on other reactors in the future?
Yeah, so that question, I read it many times in forums and the internet. That must be a misinterpretation, and I'm sorry for that. We are not redesigning the reactor here. The reactor as it is running in line 2 and 3 is our serial reactor, and it will be that reactor in Czech Republic, it will be that reactor in Greece, it will be that reactor in Unitank in Emleben, etc., and all the projects. But the reactor of TAD1, our very first industrial reactor, is old. It is over 10 years old. It has seen a lot, it has lived a lot, and it has had many hard tests with it. So the reactor is at the end of its lifespan. And it would be too risky to operate reactor 1 for a longer period of time. And I think nobody wants to read that the reactor of TRD1 took fire or something like that. There's a risk that we are not willing to take. So that's why we have decided to build a new reactor in TRD1 in line number 1. The problem is that our new serial reactor is too big for the tower in TRD1. So we need to adapt the reactor a little bit so that it fits into the tower of TRD1. And we have also to adapt the tower a little bit so that the new reactor fits in. So long story short, it is just a refit for TRD1. It is has nothing to do with all the future projects. It's such a one of a kind. The refit for TRD1 is a one of a kind.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. When investors looks at Pyron. They think about the projects and everything, the big things, but there are a lot in the background. Can you tell us about what happens in the background and what Felix Magath have for an important role for us?
Yeah, so you always see the projects, you see the technological advantages we have done, but on the back, we are working a lot on the political side. There are a lot of laws coming in the next months, even this year and in the next years. Like, for example, the end-of-life vehicle regulation, which was a giant topic for us in the last 2 years, in which it is regulated how new cars have to be built and how much recycling content needs to be in new cars. And for us as Pyrum, it was extremely important that our carbon black and our oil can be used in new cars, and that our raw materials count into the circularity volumes of new cars. So hopefully in the next weeks, the result of end-of-life vehicle regulation will finally be published. And I hope we did a good job there, that our topic is in it. And a lot of new things are coming, like, for example, the eco-design regulations, which will take for the first time tires into account in 2026. And in order to educate politicians, to explain them what we do and what we are already able to do and what are the potentials of the future, you need to get access to high-graded politicians. And Felix Magath is a door opener. It's as easy as that. He can call high-graded politicians, open doors, and give us meetings that otherwise we wouldn't get. So that is one of his important roles, and it is working quite well. We had a lot of nice political discussion, nice press releases thanks to him, and we are doing a lot of political work in the back. And on the other hand, as we are expanding, building more and more plants, we need more and more off-takers. So for the oil, the demand of BASF is so high, we are not thinking about new off-takers for the next 50 plants. But for the RCB, we need more off-takers. Schwalbe is perfect off-taker, Continental too, but we are also working on new off-takers. And you all have to know that you cannot approach a tire manufacturer today and sell him recovered carbon black in 2 months. The procedure takes years, I would say 2 years. Between the first approach, test ones, first rubber samples, first tire samples, test ones on tires, and until you are really allowed to deliver recovered carbon black for tires, because it's a security relevant component, that can take up to 2 years to sign off-take agreements for recovered carbon black. And we are very active in that sector, and hopefully soon we can publish new information about that, but that is also a topic that takes a lot of time in the background.
Thanks for the insights. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the shareholders before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I often ask myself the question, how can I keep investors motivated? Because things take a long time. And Pyrum, you have to see Pyrum as a long shot investment. What we are building here is a technology for generation, for the next decades. It takes decades to build this technology, but it will also survive for the next 20, 30, 40 years. It is not like you develop a new chipset or a CPU for a new AI application, which is the best one of its kind today, but in 6 months it is completely outdated. So the lifespan of these technologies is extremely small, and the company who is the best today might not even existing anymore in the next 2 years. But what we are doing is more comparable to rocket science, to spaceships. Nobody can build them in his backyard in 2 years or 1 year. It takes 10, 20 years to develop something like that. And that's where we are. We are developing a technology that is changing a whole industry and that will still be there in 20, 30 years. So I'm a very impatient guy, and I think things take often too long. But on the other hand, I always tell to myself what we are building here is something for the next generation and for our children also. It's something that stays there for a long time, and that is something we shouldn't forget. And another message I learned a lot from politicians in the last months is that we have to change our message to the world. We are not just a green tire recycler. We are much more. What we are in reality is we are supplier of system relevant raw materials. we are delivering the raw materials that are causing issues since years. Just look at the war in Ukraine. We had issues with gas in Europe. Now with the war in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, we had issues in getting oil. And one of the major topics on the table of all European politicians today is sustainability. It has always been, but also resource resilience. So we need to be self-supplying in major raw materials. And we, as Pyrum, we create raw materials among the most important ones, and we create them out of waste, which is even the best part of it. So yes, you will see in the next months or years that our message will change a little bit in the world. We will present ourselves less as tire recycler, but more as supplier and manufacturer of important raw materials. That's it, I would say, for the moment.
Thank you very much. This words brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you very much for listening and also for the many questions. We are now preparing the annual meeting on July 14th, and we are delighted to welcome many of you. I wish you all the best for today, and now for the last words, I hand over to Pascal Klein.
Yes, thank you, Michelle. I don't have much to add here. Thanks for the presentation, thanks for the questions. I also thank all the shareholders for sending in these questions. I hope to see many of you at our general annual assembly in July, and it's always nice to speak directly with shareholders, so I hope to see a lot of you there. So I wish you all a nice day, and thank you for your attention.